Western civilization, infant baptism, transgenderism, a legal case for the resurrection, the First Amendment, revisionist history. Your favorite guests will address these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Learn more at issuesetc.org. Making the Case, November 9th and 10th in Dallas. Dallas Page, Fort Worth Knights.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Story from the Associated Press, Dateline Washington, LGBT advocates fear Kavanaugh's votes on gay rights issues. Now, it turns out that of all the opinions in which Brett Kavanaugh has participated, none of them speak directly to the issue of LGBT issues, including gay marriage. But you gotta wonder, is it going to make a difference? Will something like Obergefell be challenged at some point? Is that even possible given the winds of change that have swept through in the last 5 years or so? And if so, will a different Supreme Court decide differently? Joining us to talk about Supreme Court nominee Brett Kavanaugh and homosexual rights, Brian Brown, president of the National Organization for Marriage based in Washington, D.C. Brian, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thanks, Todd.
Do you think that if Brett Kavanaugh had been sitting on the court instead of Anthony Kennedy 3 years ago, would Obergefell, that decision, have gone a different way?
I think it would have. I think that any judge who had a history of being a constitutionalist, someone adhering to the text of the Constitution like Brett Kavanaugh, would not have done what Kennedy did. With Kennedy, the writing was on the wall. He had already made some very bad decisions. And, you know, Kennedy had gone outside the clear meaning and text of the Constitution before. And so while it was obviously deeply disturbing that he ruled the way he did in Obergefell, it wasn't a total surprise. So I do think that had Kavanaugh been on the court, it would be a different decision. Remember, it was a 5-4 decision, so we're talking one justice.
What do we know, if anything, about Brett Kavanaugh's track record in terms of decisions when it comes to marriage in general, and in particular, the challenge that is often presented to natural marriage in the assertion of LGBTQ rights?
Well, I do think it's true. I think the article that I think you're quoting from, if I recall, I think it's a Post article, but regardless, that article is right that you don't have a track record of decisions on quote-unquote LGBT issues for Brett Kavanaugh. But what you do have, and I think this is a lot more important, is a very solid track record of being a judge who does what a judge is supposed to do, a judge that applies the law and does not make up the law. He has been very, very solid on that. And in fact, when he was asked once, there's very little, again, directly on the redefinition of marriage in Brett Kavanaugh's history, but when he was asked about it, he did make clear that some of the worst aspects of the history of the Supreme Court all have to do with judicial activism. And for those of us who don't believe that Obergefell is legitimate, for those of us who believe that it must be overturned, as hard as it may seem, that should be music to our ears, because any judge who is willing to apply what our founders intended would overturn Obergefell, would never have given us Obergefell. And, you know, I do think that sometime in the future, you are going to have a case, cases that both challenge Roe and challenge Obergefell.
What do you think the possibility of seeing Obergefell challenged actually is?
Well, I actually think that there's a relatively high possibility of it being challenged. Remember that a lot of states never change their state constitutions. Over 33 to 36 states, depending on how you interpret it, amended their constitutions to define marriage as the union of a man and a woman. Those states never, with only, you know, a couple, I'm not going to get into the minutiae here, but those states did not overturn those constitutional amendments. They're still in the books. It's just that after Obergefell, they were no longer enforced. All that would need to happen would be that one state reaffirms that marriage in that state is the union of one man and one woman, and that there is some court action that moves it up to a federal court. And if the courts continue to contest the decision, and if the Supreme Court were to take the decision, then you could get it before the Supreme Court. So, you know, a challenge is one thing. I think that a challenge to Obergefell could quite easily happen. Getting it up to the Supreme Court will be quite difficult, but not impossible.
Another facet of this is religious rights, where it impacts in particular issues of LGBTQ rights. And the president of GLAAD, Sarah Kate Ellis, is quoted in the Associated Press piece saying, one of the primary battlegrounds for both LGBTQ rights and reproductive rights will be around religious exemptions, an area where we have already seen Judge Kavanaugh favor those seeking exemptions over those who are being denied services. Is that a legitimate concern on the part of the GLAAD president?
Well, I think that the way that she's saying it and the language that she's using is absolutely wrong. Those of us who believe in the Constitution and believe that marriage is the union of a man and a woman, we are not opposing rights. In fact, we're supporting rights. We're supporting the right of children to have both a mother and a father. We're supporting the right of religious organizations not to be targeted and harassed and punished. So the language is frankly Orwellian, but I do think that it's right to see Kavanaugh as someone who has a long history of upholding the Constitution's protections for religious liberty. I mean, look, this is the First Amendment of our Constitution where right from the get-go, we see religious liberty protected in our Constitution. The notion that what is happening right now in Philadelphia, for example, where Catholic Charities Adoption Agency is being told it can no longer place children for adoptions and must shut down. The notion that florists, bakers, videographers, others have to use their talents to support same-sex marriage against their will. This is not America. This is not freedom. This is not rights. This is using the force of law to punish, oppress, and marginalize those that stand for the truth that marriage is the union of a man and a woman. This is not a part of our Constitution. This is protected that we have the free exercise of our religion. It is protected that we have the freedom of speech. It is protected that we are able to use our talents without going against our deeply held religious beliefs. So I do think that we are on a winning streak when it comes to religious liberty. And I think that the confirmation of Kavanaugh would solidify that and really turn back some of the real egregious decisions that have been made recently. For example, punishing Baronelle Stutzman for refusing to use her talents to support a so-called same-sex marriage, fining her. Even having re-education where people are told they have to take a sensitivity training. This is not anything that those of us who know the history of American freedom and virtue and the Constitution, this is not something that our Constitution can witness, can allow, and it needs to be corrected that some of these courts have gotten out of control and have been willing to say this is okay.
Brian Brown is president of the National Organization for Marriage based in Washington, D.C. You'll find a link to the National Organization for Marriage at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, thank you very much for your time. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. God bless you.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We're going to be teaching a Sunday school lesson to kick off Hour 2 of Issues, etc. Jesus teaching about forgiveness in Matthew 18. Then it's part 3 of our series on dualities in Scripture. The visible and the invisible will be the subject with Dr. Alfonso Espinosa. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues, etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, etc. Issues, etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.